I did Leo Neighborinos, and welcome into the week 14 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and we are here, the fantasy football playoffs. Well, we still have one game by the time this is recording, but what you can expect if this is your first time listening is a short, quick-hitting podcast reacting to the happenings in Sunday's games. I'm not going to hit every game. I'm not going to hit every player. But what I will do is circle around the league and hit 10 or so of the most impactful performances, tell you what happened and what they mean. After that, I'll touch on a couple of performances that were noteworthy enough to talk about, but not really go into detail. After that, I'll wrap up with any injuries that have fantasy repercussions at the end of the show, and a brutal final week it was, with several major injuries that will have widespread impact on the fantasy playoffs and beyond. Now, pitter-patter, let's get at her. Joe Burrow threw four touchdowns, but threw two costly picks in the Bengals' breathtaking loss to the Bills. Right after throwing a pick six to give Buffalo the lead, he threw a second interception with about 5 minutes left in the game. Overall, Burrow looked as good as ever, and with the schedule of Baltimore, Miami, and Arizona coming up, he is locked in as a QB1 for the fantasy playoffs. Two of those touchdowns went to T. Higgins, who briefly left the game after banging his head on the ground again. Honestly, I think he did have another concussion, but we'll see what happens there. He made two ridiculous catches. Second one, one-handed with Tre'Davious White holding his arm. He led the way for the Bengals, catching 6 of 11 targets for 92 yards and those beautiful tutties. So with Burrow throwing four touchdowns, two going to T, that means at least one went to his BFF Ja'Marr Chase, right? Right? No. The other two touchdown passes went to Chase Brown and Mike Gesicki. Chase saw a solid 8 targets, but caught just 5 for 43 yards. Disappointing for sure, but obviously nothing to be concerned about. Games like this happen even for studs like Ja'Marr Chase. He's a top 3 receiver in real life and in fantasy, but this game from Higgins solidifies him as a high-end wide receiver 2, borderline wide receiver 1, with Burrow fully back. Speaking of obvious scenarios based simply on stat lines, J.J. McCarthy completed just under 70% of his pass attempts and threw 3 touchdowns. That means Justin Jefferson made up for a season with a monster game in one of the most crucial weeks of the season, right? Right? No? Okay, well, he at least caught one touchdown, right? No? He at least had 10 fantasy points, right? No. All that would make too much sense in what week 14 of the 2025 NFL season would become. 3 touchdowns for J.J. McCarthy, 3 touchdowns to tight ends. 2 to Josh Oliver, 1 to T.J. Hockenson. It was Jordan Addison that led the way with 4 catches and 7 targets for 67 yards. And even Jalen Naylor had a better day than Jefferson. Naylor caught 3 of 3 targets for 30 yards, with Jefferson only coming down with 2 catches on 4 targets for 11 yards. McCarthy looked, dare I say, poised at times, didn't make as many dumb mistakes, and ran only when he had to. He still has no business being anywhere near anybody's fantasy lineup, but his respectable performance does give hope that maybe his career isn't already over. Only part of the pass game in Minnesota you should consider for fantasy is Jefferson, even if he is still a huge gamble. I wouldn't blame you on benching him for the fantasy playoffs, but I don't mind trotting him up there with the upside as a risky wide receiver 3. Of course, in the chaos that was week 14, the game with the implied total under 35 points would wind up with a total of 60 points scored. Shedeur Sanders easily had the best game of his career, throwing 364 yards, 3 touchdowns, and chipping in an extra touchdown on the ground. But don't be fooled. Sanders didn't suddenly break out. He barely completed 50% of his 42 pass attempts, and it's not like the Titans are an intimidating defense. Tennessee came into the matchup allowing multiple touchdown passes in 5 of its last 6. Jerry Jeudy came down with a 60-yard touchdown, but it was rookie tight end Harold Fannin with the big game, catching 8 of 11 targets for 114 yards and a touchdown. It was Fannin's first career 100-yard game and his second straight with a touchdown reception. Sanders is still just a desperation start in Superflex leagues, but if you lost a quarterback or 3 this week, a Week 15 matchup against Chicago was another one in which he could put up serviceable numbers. Sanders' performance is a massive boost to the prospects of Harold Fannin's upside. DK Metcalf had a season-high 12 targets, catching 7 for 148 yards, just his second game over 100 receiving yards this season. And a massive part of that was the impact of newly acquired Adam Thielen, who caught 1 pass for 1 yard. Okay, it was actually 4 yards, but I thought 1 sounded cooler. Anyways, Metcalf had an average depth of target of 14.8, just the second time in his last 7 games with an ADOT over 11. Throwing the ball to DK Metcalf downfield, what a concept. Rodgers threw just one touchdown, but he looked probably the best he has all year. The game doesn't really move the needle too much for Rodgers or Metcalf, but it does raise their floor just a little bit. The perfect time right before the fantasy playoffs. Lamar Jackson had his best game in a month, but still had mixed results. Jackson and the Ravens' offense struggled early and didn't score their first touchdown until 16 seconds left in the second quarter when Lamar Jackson scrambled for a 6-yard score. He'd wound up throwing a touchdown to Isaiah Likely in the third quarter and Likely should have been counted for another touchdown to Isaiah Likely, but it was overturned on what I believe was a bogus call. Joey Porter Jr. punched the ball out after Likely came down with it in the end zone, but to me it looked like he already taken two steps and it should have stood. Regardless, Zay Flowers caught 8 of 11 targets for 124 yards, scoring over 20 fantasy points for the first time since week 1. The results of the game weren't what Ravens fans had hoped for, but Lamar looked the best he has in weeks. He should keep the good times rolling against the Bengals in the first round of the fantasy playoffs, and is still locked in as a QB1. The only positive part of the Falcons' offense is that Kirk Cousins seems to be as obsessed with Kyle Pitts as myself and Brian Hartman. Pitts is averaging nearly 12 points per game in Cousins' 4 starts and has 8 or more targets in 3 of those 4, including 2 games with double digits. The Falcons' offense is straight doo-doo, baby, but Kyle is not the Pitts. Shout out to my good friend and tag team partner, Ladarius Brown. Get the tables! The Titans got the road win and Cam Ward threw multiple touchdowns for the first time in his career, but the first overall pick was still hashtag not good. Ward threw for just 117 yards, completing 50% of his passes, and threw his 6th interception of the season. Elik Iomanner and Chimray DK both caught touchdowns, but totaled 38 receiving yards between them, and are still both fantasy fades. Zero clue where this came from, but Tony Pollard had a career day, running for 161 yards and 2 touchdowns in what is easily the best game of his career. This was against the Cleveland defense that came into the game allowing a league-low 3.7 yards per carry and held all other backs other than Derrick Henry under 100 yards this season. His 2 touchdowns came on explosive runs of 32 yards and 65 yards respectively. Pollard came into this game with 69 total yards on explosive runs this season. He was likely floating around on most waiver wires, and rightfully so. You cannot start him next week, but if he's out there, you should probably pick him up, just in case he goes on a Tim Hightower out-of-nowhere league-winning type run. Michael Wilson caught 11 of 16 targets for 142 yards and 2 touchdowns. With Marvin Harrison Jr. out with a heel issue, Wilson was once again hyper-targeted by Jacoby Brissett and proved he's arguably the greatest wide receiver of all time. All joking aside, if Marv is out again in week 15, I'll have Wilson ranked as a high-end wide receiver 2. He'd be a wide receiver 1 if it wasn't for the matchup against the Texans. Jaden Reed returned, but Christian Watson did not care. Both receivers had 4 targets, but Watson was the one who turned them into 2 touchdowns, catching 4 passes for 89 yards, averaging 22.3 yards per reception. Reed caught all 4 of his targets as well, but managed just 31 receiving yards. Watson is on an unbelievable run and has seemingly emerged as the wide receiver 1 for the Packers. Reed's return rendered Dontavion Wicks and Romeo Doubs useless, at least for this week. Watson and Reed are the only receivers in Green Bay I consider starting, with Watson pushing wide receiver 2 status and Reed a volatile flex for now. RJ Harvey ran for a career-high 75 yards on 17 carries against the Raiders, including his 4th rushing touchdown of the season. Harvey had a career high in targets and receptions with 6 each, adding 25 yards through the air. It was Harvey's most efficient game since taking over as a lead back for J.K. Dobbins, forcing 6 missed tackles and 2 runs over 10 yards. Harvey's getting hot at the right time, and with back-to-back games over 20 points, he's locked in as a high-end RB2 for the fantasy playoffs. Josh Allen completed 22 of 28 pass attempts for 251 yards, 3 touchdowns, a 2-point conversion, 9 carries for 78 yards, and a rushing touchdown. This just in, Josh Allen is good. Jaxon Smith-Njigba caught 7 of 10 targets for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns. I know it's impossible for a wide receiver to win the MVP, especially since Cooper Kupp didn't when he won the Triple Crown, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba is making exceptional case. Jacoby Myers saw 10 targets and a touchdown in his 3rd straight game and has taken over as the top target on the Jaguars. Brian Thomas Jr. did see 6 targets, catching 3 and making 2 incredible catches. He seemed to get a bit of his swagger back. Myers is the wide receiver one on this team for now, but I like what I saw today from BTJ. Matthew Stafford bounced back beautifully, throwing 281 yards and another three touchdowns, including two to Puka Nacua. Even studs have down games, and Stafford is still the odds-on favorite for the MVP. Oh man, these injuries. I don't remember another final week of the fantasy regular season with so many impactful, so many ridiculously, with so many major injuries that are going to have widespread implications across the fantasy playoffs. Daniel Jones went down with a non-contact injury that Jones instantly knew was a torn Achilles. It was confirmed shortly after, and his comeback season ends in about the cruelest fashion possible. Riley Leonard assumingly takes over as the Colts starting quarterback for the rest of the season, but is not on the fantasy radar. Devon Achane left with a rib injury after rushing for 92 yards and a touchdown on just 7 carries. After the game, head coach Mike McDaniel said Achane could have came back in, but he held him out as a precaution, which does make sense considering the game got out of hand rather quickly. Breathe easy, Devon Achane, fantasy managers. It sounds like he'll be back next week. Tyrod Taylor left with a groin injury and wasn't able to return. But with Justin Fields inactive with a knee injury, it was undrafted rookie Brady Cook who took over. There's no word who's going to be healthy enough to start for the Jets next week, but honestly, does it really matter? Jaden Daniels didn't play all that great before leaving the game after getting rocked trying to make a tackle after throwing a pick. He landed right on that recently dislocated elbow and was in visible agony. There's no reason he should play another down this season, but we'll see if Washington tries to ruin his career like they did RG3's. Zach Ertz was carted off the field in tears after what is feared to be a torn ACL. Doesn't look good, and at age 35, this legitimately could be the end of Zach Ertz's career. And that is a wrap for the regular season of Sunday Best. I will be with you all throughout the fantasy playoffs. For those sickos who play every single week, and I mean sickos in the most endearing of terms, I feel your pain. My home league, I wound up missing the playoffs by less than 10 points in a Superflex league where I lost both Daniel Jones and Jaden Daniels. A little painful for me, but more importantly, I hope you made your playoffs. I hope you make a championship run. I hope I've been able to help out in some form or fashion, even though you are the one making the decision for your rosters. I will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And as always, choose love, not hate.